I'm Francis Lamb, and this is The Splendid Table, the show for curious cooks and eaters. So I have a theory for why something as simple as a carrot tastes so much better when you're at a fancy restaurant. I mean, sure, the chef may have known that carrot by name, and it may have been harvested by like an actual rocket scientist, but I think so much of it is because when we sit down for that meal, we know how much it costs. And that makes us actually take a moment to really concentrate on the carrot when we eat it, to really taste it. Well, it turns out my theory isn't new, or at least the idea of focusing on food as a mindful practice isn't new. In Japan, there's a long tradition of Buddhist cooking that is all about mindful cooking and eating, to connect yourself to your time and place. Abigail Leonard reports from Tokyo.
I'm here in northeast Tokyo in the bustling Asakusa neighborhood. There are lots of people on bikes and buses whizzing by. And I've heard about a monk in a temple here who specializes in Shojin Ryori, which is a kind of vegan temple cuisine. So I'm off to find him.
Hello, nice to meet you.
Hi, nice to meet you. This is monk Kaku Hoeyoi, the chief priest of this 400-year-old Buddhist temple. He leads me into the main sanctuary. It's candlelit, red and gold and lacquer, and the air is heavy with incense. Aoi grew up here, learning to cook from his mother in the temple's small kitchen. He makes Shojin Ryori, the traditional vegan Buddhist cuisine that spread from China in the 6th century and laid the foundation for modern Japanese cooking. Today, he's making horenthal, a kind of leafy green.
This is a very traditional recipe. So just soy sauce and sugar and sesame is very, very simple.
So simple, in fact, it doesn't use any onions or garlic. No Shojin Ryori cooking does, because, Aoi says, monks found it interfered with chanting sutra.
We will have the same small room and a lot of people. So if we eat a garlic and onion, it smell, stink.
Right, so it's just a sociable thing to do.
Yes.
So what do you use then? What other sorts of strong flavors do you have to work with?
For example, we have ginger, or we have a lot of herbs.
He slices the greens and the whole thing goes in the bowl. Ends, stalks, everything.
Actually, this is edible.
In this tradition, nothing goes to waste. Aoi saves vegetable peelings to make stir fries. The seaweed he used for stock becomes pickles. Every life and every bite is precious.
In the temple, when we eating a food, just concentrate the food. For example, when I bite the sesame seeds, maybe sound like psh, psh, psh. So just concentrate in front of you. It's very connected to the meditations.
Aoi wasn't always such an adherent. After college, he resisted his Buddhist birthright and moved to California, a place he'd only heard about in movies. He enrolled in an MBA program and started planning a career in business. But then the Twin Towers fell, and he felt powerless to help.
So I come back to Japan and study about Buddhism. After that, we have a big earthquake, 2011. It was very big difference between the 9/11.
So that time you felt like you were useful, you could be useful.
Yes.
Now, in a country where population decline is expected to shutter a third of all Buddhist temples, Aoi's congregation is thriving. It's up to 1,000 people, in part because he holds regular dinners and also dining in the dark events, where guests learn to really focus on food by eating blindfolded. Do you feel like you really found your calling?
Yes. Now I don't have any money. Before becoming a monk, I'm happy because I have a lot of money. I'm happy because I have a girlfriend. But now I just say I'm happy because I'm just happy.
So is it possible to find that kind of spiritual satisfaction cooking, say, your average weekday dinner? To find out, I visited a Buddhist cooking class. Students at Akasaka Tehran learn to make temple food at home, the old-fashioned way. Instead of using a blender to mix tofu, the teacher coaches them to use a mortar and pestle.
Kamo-san is handling this very well. When you do it right, there's a proper sound you can make with this action.
The teacher, Masami Aseo, who is also a Buddhist priest, says these techniques are central to Shojin Ryori.
The whole point of Zen is to face yourself, and Shojin Ryori shares that idea. You look at the ingredient, focus on it, and I think ultimately that's the same as looking into yourself.
Today's menu includes things like edible chrysanthemum, persimmons, and lotus root.
Shojin ryori is seasonal food by nature. So the idea is that you're enjoying the season and that you can actually recognize the season by eating it.
The challenge, though, is the limited number of seasonal vegetables. Like, how many ways can you cook a radish? So top Shojin ryori chefs are masters of improvisation. And one of the best is right across town. That was the traditional chimes that go off every day in Tokyo at 5 p.m. This restaurant is in an area called Roppongi that's really popular with foreigners.
Sometimes as many as half our dinner guests are non-Japanese. I want to show them Japan's beautiful Buddhist food culture.
Michelin-starred chef Daisuke Nomura opened this restaurant, Sugo, a year and a half ago. The kitchen is gleaming stainless steel. But there are also the telltale signs of traditional temple cooking. And there are colanders just filled with flower petals here. So there's one bowl that has this really beautiful sort of pale pink flower and another with these long yellow petals. This is not your grandfather's Shojin ryori. Nomura's menu borrows from Chinese, French, even pub food. And Sugo recently became one of Tokyo's first restaurants on Uber Eats, the new food delivery service. So now you can eat ancient Buddhist temple cuisine in the comfort of your own home. Don't confuse this for just another vegetarian takeout place, though.
This type of food is certainly good for vegetarians, but there's a difference. In Shojin ryori, you emphasize other people over yourself. I'm not saying vegetarians are self-centered, but many do it for health reasons or personal ideology. Buddhist cooking is an offering to someone else. That's the guiding principle, and you can taste it in the food.
Abigail Leonard is a Tokyo-based reporter who covers Japanese culture and politics. And by the way, Chef Daisuke Nomura says he hopes to bring that experience to a new restaurant in the U.S.